Locked On Timberwolves, your daily Minnesota Timberwolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Hello and welcome to another Locked On Wolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. As always, your host here, Colt Molesky, bringing you daily Timberwolves content. And today is a special, special day because it's not just your host bringing you Timberwolves content, but it's also your new co-host who just recently, if you didn't see the news, just recently joined the Locked On Network and the Locked On Timberwolves podcast, Trey Flynn. He is the newly appointed co-host of the show. He'll be joining me, and he'll be joining me very often now throughout the rest of the season. Trey Flynn, awesome to have you on. Awesome to have you part of the team. And how does it feel to be a co-host on the show?
It feels great. I'm a long-time listener. Now I'm going to be a long-time speaker, I guess. So I'm really excited for that. And I greatly appreciate the opportunity from you and David. Really excited from Locked On to be a part of the Locked On NBA staff and Locked On Wolves. I mean, it's a rough night we had last night, but I'm excited for the future.
Yeah, let's just say that Trey is doing a lot better right now in life than the Timberwolves. He's co-editor of Dunking with Wolves. Now he's the co-host of the Locked On Wolves. He's having success after success, and the Timberwolves are on a three-game losing streak. So, Trey, you're doing better than a pro basketball team right now, I think.
I don't know about all that, but I'll take that. That's some good stuff.
All right, so let's dive into this. We're going to do a couple segments here. We're going to do some game notes. We're going to do shooting from a hip, going with some takes, some narratives about the Timberwolves, and then we're close out with what's around the corner. First, let's go get some game notes. What stuck out to you in this game, Trey? Because for me, it had to be the 3-point shooting of the Kings, 50% from three, 19 of 38. The Timberwolves, I know that their perimeter defense is bad, but there just has to be a little something better. You can't let a team shoot 50% from three. And on the other side, shooting 20 or 9 of 22, 40% from three-point range for them. They just didn't put up enough threes to keep pace. Talked about this going into the show with Matt George, the host of the Locked On Kings podcast, how if they were going to keep pace with this team, it meant shooting a lot of threes. Just didn't see that from their offense. Those were kind of the two things that stuck out to me. What really stuck out to you in this game?
I mean, I totally agree. 19 of 38 from three is really tough to give up. I did listen to that last pod. You know, it's tough because it's seven total players that hit those threes. A couple of those guys don't normally get those shots and get them through the net. Notably, Yogi Ferrell, who I don't think has scored in double digits since October or the fourth game of the season. And he had 17 points last night. He was 4-4 from downtown. So that's definitely rare. That doesn't happen a lot. But I think the biggest thing that stood out, even besides the three-point shooting, was Nemanja Bjelica. This was a revenge game in a way, and he just took over. 25 points, 5 rebounds, 3 assists, 2 blocks. He led both teams in contested shots. His defense was all around. And it says a lot for him as a player. It's a lot of growth right there, and it was almost a slap in the face to the Wolves franchise because – the way Tom Thibodeau used him last year, standing in spot up shooting threes, wasn't exactly the right fit for him. And that's why we saw him go from Philly to Sacramento, because Sacramento said they'd give him a bigger role. So obviously he's doing great things there. And I think that was the biggest thing that stood out. Maybe that's just because it hurts the most.
Yeah. 4 of 9 from downtown. He had, now, if memory serves, at least two shots where he was about 27 feet deep, really deep threes that helped space the floor. Another thing that stuck out to me, I was really impressed this time around, and I was watching him especially because Matt pointed him out and was talking about the growth, and you kind of knew from the rumblings around the league about the rookies in the Western Conference. Marvin Bagley was one of these guys who was improving as the year was progressing. But 17 points, 10 rebounds, 3 assists for the young stud out of Duke. He was, I think, maybe one of the bigger differences in this one. Obviously, the Kings won the first time around, but I thought that Marvin Bagley was one of the guys who helped make this effort feel like more of a blowout than maybe the box score reflects, as they brought it to within 11 at the end there. But he was one of the guys who, coming off the bench, he was just making the difference because he was able to space the floor. He was a really fast-moving big, and he was able to find a couple guys. I know three assists isn't going to leap off the stat sheet, but there was a couple passes he made where it was definitely a veteran kind of IQ in those passes.
Yeah, I mean, I've been pretty hard on the Kings this season for drafting Bagley with what they had to choose from. But, I mean, this game, I've only watched clips and highlights, and so I've been kind of criticizing from the basic blog boy criticism that I come from. But, I mean, I really got to watch the whole game last night. I've watched it a few times now. He's incredibly light on his feet, and this Sacramento Kings team plays extremely fast. I mean, their pace is insane. On the fast break last night, Sacramento scored 33 points, outscoring Minnesota 15 fast break. I mean, they're running down the court full speed all the time. And guys like Bagley, who are super light on their feet, it makes it easier for them to get around screens. And they're extremely efficient, too. I mean, he was 4-5. I think he was 9-10 from the free throw line, which is really impressive for a big man of his size, his stature. So I completely agree with you. That was definitely a plus for Sacramento. Also, just the pure shooting on that team from last night. I know you already brought the three-point shooting, but Bogdan Bogdanovic, I don't know what's up with the Bogdanoviches, the one from Indiana and one from Sacramento. I know they're not related, I mean, to the best of my knowledge, but these guys are insane shooters. the same last name, so it just happened to be that way. But every time he touched the ball last night, I was nervous. My palms were sweating.
Yeah, that was... The problem was that there was, like, I would say five guys last night that made me really nervous when they got the ball. I mean, Bielitsa, Bogdan Bogdanovic, every time Bagley had it, I was nervous. He was knocking down all kinds of shots. Yogi Ferrell made me – I was getting flashbacks of when he was on Indiana and he was a Hoosier in college. He was 4-4 from downtown with his – 17-point outing. They had seven players in all score double-digit points. Four of them were starters. It was one of those, and you know that the Timberwolves' defense is going to play poorly, but it was one of those where it was really inexcusable. Like, there was just a sense of laziness about the whole thing that on defense you just really can't have. And on the other side, too, what did you glean from the offense of the Timberwolves? Because it felt like there were definitely periods where you got excited. I mean, they scored 42 points in the third quarter, 38 in the fourth quarter. It's not like they were grossly outscored to finish out the game. But also in the second quarter, they only scored 19. It just felt like there were moments where it was really, really stagnating. It's getting harder, by the way, for me to defend Teague as well after games like this, because I know he had the 12 and 13 with assists. And there were times in that fourth quarter where he was really moving the ball around, in that third quarter where he was really moving the ball around. But then there was so many times in that second quarter where it just trudged the offense, and it was rough.
Sometimes I feel like I'm about to fall asleep watching Jeff Teague dribble the ball. I mean, it is literally he dribbles the shot clock out to no avail. It seems like oftentimes he's just waiting for the last second where he can chuck a ball to Andrew Wiggins, and then Andrew Wiggins has to shoot up 10 shots a game, and that's why we see like 0-15 for Andrew Wiggins sometimes, because he's giving these passes from Jeff Teague, not even off any picks or anything like that, just staying in the corner, and he's just having to do spot up contested shots. I mean, for the offense for Minnesota, Jeff Teague aside, I'll get to that a little later, but like two things that I noticed is that Andrew Wiggins and Karl-Anthony Towns have definitely been playing extremely well over the past five games, even through these three losses in a row. They're both averaging over 20 points a game. Karl-Anthony Towns well over, like 25. Both shooting extremely efficiently. Andrew Wiggins from three-point line and Karl-Anthony Towns as well have been insane this year. So that's a good sign. I think, the negatives that have been kind of bringing down Minnesota lately, at least in the past three games, have been Robert Covington's injury. And I know he did pull up 17 last night. It was six rebounds. He was out a few games ago. But you could tell it was hampering him on the defensive end. He couldn't keep up with some of the younger, quicker guys on Sacramento's team. So I think it was a hamstring issue, and I think he's going to have to probably sit out soon because it was obvious.
Yeah, you could definitely tell something was wrong. He just wasn't the same in transition, you know?
Mm-hmm.
All right. What was that?
Yeah, I was saying completely. I completely agree. Mm-hmm. So he's got to probably sit out soon.
Yeah, he's going to be crucial to finish out the season. You don't want to mess up something permanent that keeps him out for an entire year. It's better to lose him for like 2 or 3 weeks than for the rest of the season. So I hope that they're careful. They're careful with him and careful with any injury that may be going on that looks like it's there. We're going to get to a quick break for some sponsors, and then we're going to get into the next leg of this show. This episode is sponsored by Action Heat. Action Heat makes the world's best battery-heated clothing. Heat on demand at the touch of a button. Control your environment with Action Heat. Action Heat clothing is engineered to safely and effectively deliver heat via heating panels similar to a heated car seat. They can reach temperatures of up to 135 degrees and are powered by 5 rechargeable 5-volt lithium-ion batteries that last up to 12 hours on each charge. Action Heat batteries can also be used to recharge your phone or any other gadget while you're wearing them. Perfect for any friend or family on your holiday gift list. Great for anyone who works outdoors, skiers and snowboarders, or anybody that loves the outdoors and hates being cold. That's me. Action Heat clothing provides toasty warmth and comfort for your whole body, including heated jackets, socks, gloves, hats, and even undergarments like heated base layer shirts and long johns. You can stay warm and cozy from head to toe with Action Heat. Action Heat is available in men's and women's and has great new styles and models just released for this winter season. Make winter activities more enjoyable with a blast of warmth. Action Heat is the perfect solution to keep your toasty warm, and even in the most frigid weathers, you can stay comfortably warm. We've got a special deal for our listeners to save up to 20% on your entire order. Just go to actionheat.com/lockedon. Again, that's actionheat.com/lockedon and check out everything Action Heat has to offer. Use the coupon code LOCKEDON at checkout to save 20%. That's 20%. Stay toasty warm while you enjoy all your outdoor activities this winter with Action Heat. We thank them for sponsoring this podcast. All right, your hosts here, Colton and Trey, talking about what went down in the Kings Timberwolves game. If you missed it, it was 141-130, a rout for the Kings in a very high scoring affair. We just went over game notes. Going to do some shooting from the hip where we cover some narratives. It's not necessarily always about a game, but just some things that we're thinking about from the Timberwolves. Some things that are going through our heads. Some things we're mulling over about the Timberwolves. Trey, what's been on your mind about the Timberwolves recently? Maybe it's been brought on the game. Maybe it's been on your head for a while.
I want to see Dario Saric. Well, I have a couple things. I want to see Dario Saric in the starting lineup. I'd really like to see a move made. It was said pre-Jimmy Butler trade, before Saric and Covington even came to Minnesota, that it was rumored, and Saric was kind of adamant about it, that he wants to be a starter, and he plays really, really well with Robert Covington in the starting lineup because they play really well around each other. I would like to see maybe a switch there with Gibson just for a game or two. We have Phoenix coming up, so it wouldn't be a bad time to try that out. Just because I think guys like Saric, if you put the ball in their hands, a lot like Sacramento did with Nemanja Bjelica last night, guys can get open more around the perimeter, and I feel like he'll be able to drive it in there with talents in the exterior, and he can bounce it out if he needs to. I think it would be a fun wash aesthetically, and also I think it would be a smart game plan move for Tom Thibodeau. Go ahead.
No, I'm right there with you. I was about to say, give Saric the ball more. I mean, 31 minutes, looked fantastic. He only had 9 shots. He knocked down 6 of them, 18 points. He had a steal, 3 assists, 6 rebounds. And I really liked that lineup when they had Derrick Rose and Saric and Wiggins out there at the same time. It was at the end of that first quarter, beginning of the second quarter. I really thought that those three specifically played well off each other, and I'd really love to see those three play more with Towns out there together, because they played a lot with Gorgie out there, and I'd really like to see how they space the floor for Towns when he's out there. Play those three more together with Towns. I think that's could be a really fun lineup. And Sarge, too, was really good in transition, I thought, in this game.
Yeah, he kept up with the guys, which I actually was pretty surprised about because some things I heard from guys in Philly is that he had slower feet. And I didn't really see that last night. And I haven't really seen that since he's been in Minnesota. I think he's honestly trying to prove something now that he's on a different team that he can ball no matter where he is. And I think I saw this from Dan Moore. It was a good quote that Sarge plays like he's on a winning team all the time. So he's never having his head down. He's a good guy on the sidelines to have. But I just think you want him on the court. And kind of going off that point, too, with Phoenix coming up, I also think this might be the time, and I can kind of tell from your voice and what you're saying about Jeff Teague, maybe to try Derrick Rose and slot him in there at a starting guard spot. I know you've said before you like that two-guard spot with Teague or Rose or whoever, but I think it would be a good idea to try to get Derrick Rose more minutes. I think with him being objectively the third-best player on this team this season, you could even say the second if you put the stats out there. I think he deserves that starting nod. And I've been waiting all year to see the Jeff Teague, or at least since the Jimmy Butler trade, I've been ready to see the Jeff Teague benching, or at least Jeff Teague move. I just cannot watch him dribble the clock out anymore, man.
Taking it from the hip, I'm kind of right along the same lines with you as far as backcourt. And I'm going to take a little bit of a different direction, too. If Teague isn't getting benched for Derrick Rose, I just need to see a bite of his minutes going to Tyus Jones. I know that I've talked with you about how I'm worried about Tyus just taking advantage of some of the minutes he's getting with how he responds offensively. I'm not sure if the offense is there yet, but here's the thing. He was out there 15 minutes and he took two shots. We gotta see something else. We gotta see. I mean, he moves the pace of the offense better. I think he moves along with the transition better. I just really want to see him take like 10 shots in a game. You know, I think if he gets 21 minutes, he might loosen up a little bit. Is what I'm hoping for. But there needs to be a couple games. And like you're saying, the Suns is a perfect game to try some of this stuff out because the Suns are hot garbage. They're hot garbage, and we'll get to them in a second. But Tyus Jones, if he could play like 20, 21 minutes, I'd really like to see him be more aggressive offensively, especially with himself and the way he play makes for himself, because I'd really like to see more two-guard lineups with Rose and Jones out there together.
Yeah, I mean, I agree. I think Tyus Jones definitely hasn't gotten the opportunities that he's due for. I mean, he's been in the league for a while now, respectively at his young age. But I think that there's a lot of growing pains in his young career that he'll have with shooting 10 shots a game. I get worried because I'm not really too sure how great an offensive player he can be when it comes to scoring. He's obviously a good slasher, and he can get to the rim and kick it out, and that's how he gets his 4 or 5 assists a game. I think he's averaging 5 and 5 right now. But, yeah, I mean, if you give him 20, 21, 22 minutes a game, I definitely think he could take a step in the right direction. Another guy, which I know you've been harping on a lot, which I completely agree, which I was kind of wishy-washy on at the beginning of the season, was giving Josh Okogie more minutes. And if you're going to take minutes away from Jeff Teague, those minutes should either go Tyus Jones or Okogie 10 or 12 minutes a game. That would be a big difference.
Yeah, I mean, he's just a difference maker on defense. I think that he's going to give you – I mean, I really honestly think he could probably give you 1.5 to 2 steals per game. I think that he's going to change how this team plays just energy-wise. And he's just a freak athlete. He's just a freak athlete that's going to make plays. And so if I'm shooting from the hip here, I've got to say that Josh Okogie needs to probably play at least 12 minutes a game. And, like, I mean... I know Gorgie's been playing okay, God bless him, but I think Josh Okogie needs to get more minutes than Gorgie right now.
Yeah, I mean, I don't disagree. I think the majority, or the main reason why I think Gorgie Jang is getting minutes at all is because we don't have a true backup center to Karl-Anthony Towns, and I think Tom Thibodeau is one of those old-school coaches. Well, I don't think. I know he is. And so he wants to keep that backup true center behind Towns. I don't necessarily agree with that. I think you could fit Dario in there or even Tolliver at times, but I definitely agree with taking minutes away from Jang. And besides from the true center thing, he's making about $15 million. So Minnesota just, crying themselves to sleep over that if they give Josh Okogie more minutes than Jang. But I completely agree from a Blog Boys perspective.
I love it. Blog Boys for life. Yeah, and that's the thing, too, is that there seems to be this desperation to get him minutes for either it's the money or it's that you feel like you have to play a center out there, when really the best version of this team is throwing out a bunch of wings with a fast-paced guard like a Tyus Jones or like a Derrick Rose and just letting them run, letting them go a little wild. I mean, you can play Taj Gibson or Sarge as kind of like small ball fives and just have fun with it. See what happens. Let's go.
Yeah, definitely got to do it against Phoenix. There's the next couple games aren't if you look at the next couple of games, Phoenix is the best team to try anything against, especially if we get up by a good amount going into half. We play Sacramento and Detroit after that, so Phoenix would definitely be the time to do that.
Well, I mean, let's put it this way. If you look at this game and you take, let's say you take 8 minutes from Teague and you don't play Gorgie at all, and so you take those 8 minutes and those 13 minutes and you play Josh Okogie, like 7 more minutes. You put Tolliver out there for some time. You can't tell me, honestly, that they're not better in this game. You can't.
Yeah, I completely agree. I don't know what the hesitation is besides just Tom Thibodeau being stuck in his ways.
All right. I'm sure we're going to harp on this more throughout the season. So let's get on to scouting some competition here. But first, some sponsors. It's been your boys, Trey and Colton, the new co-hosts. He's bringing the fresh look to this show. He's bringing the fresh hot takes. He's gunning and running here as the newly joined co-host Trey Flynn joined the show today. And it's your debut album here on the show. I mean, I know you've been on the show before, but as a co-host, it's your debut album. You're coming in with some heat. You're asking for people to get fired. You're tossing people out of the building. It's been a lot of fun. But now we're going to look forward to something that's not going to be super fun. And that's because we, as professionals, of course, we have to watch the Phoenix Suns.
Oof.
So let's get into some stats here. They're 102. They're 29th in offense. They're averaging 102.2 points per game. They're shooting 45% from the field. They're only shooting 33% from three, even though they're taking over 33s per game. They're putting up 40 rebounds. They're only assisting. They're averaging 23.6 assists, which I don't know if you know this, but usually it's good to get a lot of players involved, but not for the Suns. Not for the Suns. They're 18th in assists per game right now. By all accounts, if you're looking at the stats, this team should be just a wash for the Timberwolves to beat. I mean, they don't score very well. They don't move the ball very well. As far as defensive rating, they're second to last with 112.7. They're 29th. Oh, only the Cavaliers have a worse defensive rating than the Suns. This should be a cakewalk for the Timberwolves, right?
Absolutely. If the Minnesota Timberwolves, knock on wood, lose this game to the Phoenix Suns, then my intro as a co-host is obviously a bad sign to the franchise. But I did hear you say that Phoenix is lacking assists. You're saying they're averaging around 23 assists.
Yep.
I do know a solid point guard that averages over 8 assists a game. That can give you a nice 4 points.
Oh, no.
That could be potentially swapped for, say, a guy like T.J. Warren. Just an idea.
You know what? I'd take Trevor Ariza, too. I'm not going to lie to you.
I would take Troy Daniels.
We should also mention, too, Devin Booker out indefinitely. So their best player by far isn't even going to be in this game. And you think if you're Minnesota's defense, this should be one where, like, Towns has like 6 blocks. I want to see like Wiggins have 5 steals. This would be a really good game for Josh Okogie. I don't want to beat a dead horse or anything, but just a game where he can just be the best athlete on the floor and really just take advantage of sloppiness from the Phoenix Suns. This would be a fantastic game for him to play and just really flex defensively.
I completely agree. I think that not only get Okogie more minutes, change up some lineups, as we've talked about before, and also I would give some rest to some guys who need it. Whether it is, and I'm mostly joking about Teague, obviously, but it's funny to joke about a guy that dribbles a shot clock. But if you need to give rest to guys like Teague or Derrick Rose, who said he takes 3 ice baths a day, or Robert Covington, who's struggling obviously on defense right now because of his hamstring, then give some rest to those guys and let Andrew Wiggins, Carl Anthony Towns and company take advantage of this game and give Okogie some good minutes.
In turnover percentage, the Phoenix Suns are 29th, 16.6. So, I mean, they're going to turn a ball over a lot regardless, but I think it's just a tremendous way for, because they're going to try and take shots from outside. They're taking over 33s. So they're going to take shots from outside. If you have Okogie out there grabbing those passes from outside, that's just flipping the floor on a bad defense really fast, because he's going to take it down the floor really quickly, and he's going to be able to turn those into buckets. And so play him like 16 minutes. He's going to hurt this team.
Yep, agreed. I mean, Minnesota is coming off a 3-game losing streak, and Phoenix, although they are obviously tanking from a franchise perspective, the players don't necessarily agree with that are on the court. Or at least we hope that they don't agree with that. So they're going to be trying to fight hard. They understand basketball. They understand that the Wolves aren't looking too good right now. And guys like Josh Jackson, who have been, you know, completely destroyed by the media this year, probably going to look to go off in this game. So there are guys to watch out for. Obviously, first pick in the draft, DeAndre Ayton, and like I said before, TJ Warren. So there are some positive things for Phoenix to look into going into this game. It's just obvious that they're the worst team in the NBA, that Minnesota should come out with the win.
Just specific players to talk about. Ayton, he's obviously somebody who's going to be dangerous, 15.8 points per game, 10.2 rebounds. He's averaging nearly a block per game as well, which is kind of a sneaky good defensive stat for the rookie, shooting 59% from the field. There's a couple other guys I actually do really like on that. I know I railed on him, but I actually do like a lot of guys on this roster. Josh Jackson has really hurt my feelings as far as how he's played with how I was hoping he was going to play, especially after Summer League. But I like Mikal Bridges, and he's shooting pretty well, 41% from the field, 33% from three-point range. I would like to see him get more opportunity just from downtown, because he's only averaging about 3.5 shots from three-point range per game. Another guy I really like, De'Anthony Melton out of USC, and perhaps I'm a little biased just because I cover a lot of Pac-12 basketball for SB Nation, but I really, really like Melton. I think he's a really versatile player, and I think it bears out in the stats because he's averaging 7.5 points in 18 minutes and shooting 40%, but he's also averaging over a steal per game. And I just think that he's one of those guys that's a sneaky good defender and a sneaky good defender because he's got a high basketball IQ and because he's really good at anticipation plays. And then on the offensive side, I think you can just throw him anywhere. You can either run the offense through him. He's a good ball handler. He's averaging 3 assists per game, but he also can shoot pretty well, can play off ball really well. And he played in college with a guy like Jordan McLaughlin who averaged a ton of assists, and so he's really good at playing off ball and just cutting and getting to the rim and getting open. So I know that he's not going to blow anybody off the screen, but Melton will be a fun guy to watch if you're just looking at this team and thinking about maybe guys like you're saying. I mean, that's a real thing. You can look at this team and think, are there pieces maybe you can trade for in midseason that would make your team a little bit better, or is there pieces on this team that anybody would trade for to make their team a little bit better and don't have to pay too high for? And I think Melton is one of those guys that good teams will look at and say, I think he'd be actually really valuable to have on our roster, because I think he does a lot of really good things well that maybe don't show up in the stat sheet in a big way, but help your basketball team.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't realize you were this much on Melton Island. But
I'm a huge Melton fan.
I enjoy Melton. I mean, he's coming off a pretty solid 17-point game. And as for the other pieces on this team, yeah, there's a lot of pieces that I would definitely trade for if I'm any team in the league right now. Obviously, the Wolves just made a trade, so they didn't necessarily need to make one. But, you know, whether it's TJ Warren, Josh Jackson, who hurts my feelings as well, Melton, or whomever, even a Troy Daniels kind of guy. But absolutely, the only guy on this team I don't want is former number 4 pick, Dragan Bender. I don't want to touch that guy. And somehow, if he has Nemanja Bjelica game on Saturday night, I will be completely set.
He is averaging 8.6 minutes per game, so they're not even trying to bring him out and tap the tire, see if he's going to be able to play a little bit. But if he does go off in this game, you're gonna need to send some help. I live in Minneapolis. Just send the ambulance. Make sure they get me some help, because I'm going to be having some respiratory problems. I'm going to be upset. I'm going to be in my feelings. It's going to be a mess. It's not going to be good. And yeah, there are Melton I have written articles where I'm making a case for Melton to get drafted in the first round, so that's out there. So I've been buying Melton stock since before the FBI case. We'll just put it that way.
I love it. I love Melton. I love that you're on the island. Like I said, I'll pull
it. All right, my man. That's it for me. Do you have anything else?
No, man. But again, just thank you for bringing me on here, and hopefully the listeners will tune in again and hear us go off about Jeff Teague trades in the future, and I'm excited.
That was a big load of fun is what that was. It was a hell of a good time, and that's all for us. Thank you, everyone, for tuning in and listening to another Locked On Wolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
You are Locked On Timberwolves, your daily Minnesota Timberwolves podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network.